Be the light, be the light. From Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14 in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he said, you are the light of the world. You probably did this morning. I know I did, and you do it probably every morning when you first get up. You probably turn on a light, maybe more than one light. That's what we do. Light is important. Light is essential for us to do the things that we want to do. In fact, this week, I counted the number of lights in our house, and I every time I counted, I came up with a different number, so I'm sure I've missed some of those, but we have at least 41 lights in our house. I couldn't believe it, 41 different lights in our house. Now, some are really bright. Some are bright, like in the kitchen, we got bright lights. In the bathroom, you got bright lights. So you can make yourself look pretty and everything. In the living room, we have lights, not really bright, but bright enough so that you can see around, or at least find the remote so you can turn the TV on. In some places, we have reading lights that are kind of focused. So you pull out a book and you can see that well. We have some spotlights, like in the backyard. I got a big spotlight so we can see the backyard. And then we have some really cheap lights, just really small lights. We call them night lights. Those are designed just to make you feel a little bit more peaceful. If you're afraid of the dark, it lets you know that there's a little bit of light out there, drives out those feelings of fear. Or sometimes when you got to get up 2 or 3 in the morning, Bradley, for whatever reason it may be, it's nice to have those little cheap little $5 lights there so that you can at least see where you are walking. But each one of those lights, they have a different purpose. Each one of those lights is important. Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount set this up last week. It's in Galilee, which is a nondescript part of Israel. Not a lot of things happened important in Galilee. The people in Galilee probably felt that they weren't real important. And Jesus says to those people in Matthew chapter 5, he says that you are the light of the world. And then he goes on to say, you need to shine. Like a town, it is set up on a hill and people see it. He says, if you're a light, you don't put a bowl over that light. You let your light shine. But catch that. Jesus says to these people, and I think this applies to all of us who follow Jesus Christ, he says that you are the light of the world. You bring truth, you bring hope, you bring direction into the lives of people. And each one of us, like the lights in our house, may have a different function, may have a different purpose. Some of you are bright lights, some of you just set the mood. Some of you just like that little nightlight that just faithfully glow in the darkness. But we're all essential. We're all important. So last week, I had you turn to your neighbor and say to your neighbor, you are the light of the world. Today, what I want us to do is just acknowledge that I am the light of the world. So I want you to say that to yourself, maybe just whisper under your breath, whatever. But I want you to say to yourself, acknowledge this declaration that Jesus makes about you, about followers of Jesus. Say to yourself, I am the light of the world. 1, 2, 3. I am the light of the world. You are the light of the world. That may feel a little uncomfortable, doesn't it? Because we know ourselves. We know our weaknesses. We know our failings. And in some ways, we've been trained to think of ourselves as small or insignificant, not particularly useful to anyone. And sometimes we look at other people that shine very, very brightly, the loud voices, the impressive ministries, and we think to ourselves, they're the bright lights. They're the essential lights. But me? Am I really essential? But Jesus is saying all of us are the light of the world. And here's the beautiful thing. Jesus doesn't grade lights based on brightness. He's declaring that every light matters. You are the light of the world. Jesus said that. Jesus is saying the world needs you. The world needs me. And not who you may want to be. He's saying it, you, as you are right now, are the light of the world. All right, before we go any further, I want you to understand something very, very crucial. Is this light that we shine is actually derived from the light that shines on us, right? Jesus says that he is the light of the world. When Jesus comes into the world, John, in his gospel, says that the light was coming into the world. And so let's recognize that I don't have to generate this life, this light, all by myself. I merely reflect that light. Now, this sermon is particularly addressed, or especially addressed, to people who have already made the confession that they are followers of Jesus Christ. But if you are not a follower of Jesus Christ, this may be happening in your life. You have some light, and I believe that every human being, by virtue of being created in the image of God, there is goodness within us and that we can shine. But if you're not connected to this light, then you may look at your life and you say, man, I always find myself burning out. My light bulb, it just doesn't last very long, or it flickers and I just get worn out. And that may be, or probably is, or is because you're not connected to Jesus, who is the light of the world. And so I'm speaking broadly to Christians today, but at this point in the sermon, I just want you to know that if you find yourself always burning out, that is because you are not connected to the light of the world. And you can shine a little bit, but it's not going to last very long. It's those of us who recognize that the light of Jesus Christ shines through us. This is how we can shine brightly and consistently in our lights. But you don't have to manufacture that light. You just need to be plugged into Jesus Christ, and that light will flow through you. All right, back to Matthew chapter 5. Jesus says something that should make us pause and think. Not only does he say that you are the light of the world, but he says you don't put this light under a bowl. When you turn a light on, you want it to shine. It would be ridiculous to turn those lights on and then to take this bowl or this basket or bucket and to put it over that light, or to take dark fabric and drape it over these lights. Turn the light on, all right, let's cover these lights up. It just doesn't make any sense. But Jesus is saying this is a possibility. And I think if we look at our lives, we see that we do that as well. We allow certain things to cover up the light that we are. So I want to look at some of those bowls. What are some bowls in our life that we use, maybe not even consciously, but some of those bowls in our life that are covering up this light that Jesus says is within us? All right, bowl number one. The bowl of fear. This is a common bowl. In fact, our kids' video addressed that Timothy had this fear. And Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7, he says, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. But that fear sometimes drives us. I don't know if I want my light to shine. I don't know if I want to talk to people about Jesus. I don't know if I want my faith to be known because I'm afraid of how other people are going to respond. Imagine a light doing that. Oh, I don't know if I'm going to go on. The darkness may make fun of me. The other lights may make fun of me. No, lights just shine because that's what they do. All right, so fear. Sometimes we're just afraid. Maybe we've had a bad experience where we've talked to someone about faith and have kind of been shot down because of that. Or they tried to put our light out. But sometimes that fear causes us to just put a basket or a bowl over that light. We cannot be people of fear. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God to save. So don't let fear, another bowl of inadequacy. We may say to ourselves, you know what, I'm not qualified. I don't know enough. I'm too broken. My life is too messy. Or I'm just a small light. I can't make a difference. But God uses all kinds of lights, even inadequate lights, because it's him shining through us. Paul said this to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He says, God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of this world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. So God uses unqualified people. We see this throughout Scripture, people using this bowl, the bowl of inadequacy. Moses, when he was called by God, He started to look at those inadequacies. Well, I don't speak very well. The Judge Gideon, he was called to defend the people against their enemies. And he says, hey, I'm not the guy. My family, we're from the weakest clan, and I'm the weakest tribe, and I'm from the weakest clan. How can you use someone like me? Jeremiah the prophet said, I'm too young. Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips. We see this over and over in Scripture where people say to God, I am inadequate, and God says, well, do it anyway, because I'm going to shine through you. God used every single one of them, often through their weakness. Paul struggled with this. Paul had weaknesses. He talks about this in his letters, and he asked God, take these weaknesses away from me. But God didn't, and Paul comes to this conclusion in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. The power that I have is sufficient. Don't look at your weaknesses. In fact, he says, my power is made perfect in your weakness. And so even maybe your weakness, maybe your brokenness, maybe your story is not disqualifying you. Maybe that makes you even more relatable and more real to people. All right, you might not be a floodlight. You might be that nightlight. But for that person that is stumbling in the darkness, they don't need a floodlight. They just needed a little light, enough light to take the next step. Another bowl, the bowl of comfort or convenience. This is a big one in my life, big one in our culture. We like to be comfortable. In fact, we live in a world where it's very easy for us to be isolated and to find comfort within our own little four walls of our house. We can have our food delivered to our doorstep. We can work from home. We can entertain ourselves without even leaving our living room. We can order our groceries and have them delivered to our doorstep without speaking to anyone. We can attend church online in our pajamas. No offense to those attending church online in your pajamas. I'm glad you're listening. But there's ways in our lives, this life with technology has been made in such a way, I don't have to talk to anyone. And sometimes that's really nice, isn't it? I remember the days when you get gas, you had to pump your gas, and you had to go inside and pay for your gas. You had to have, actually interact with people. And by nature, there's a lot about me that's an introvert. I sometimes like just being by myself. And so I remember when they had those self-service gas stations. You could put your credit card there, and you could fill up with the gas, and you could leave and didn't talk to anyone. I thought, this is great. This is the world that I want to live in. And so this is a real bowl that hovers over my life, is this bowl of comfort, convenience, of isolation, of just being by myself. But Jesus calls us to be among people. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, he says, let's not give up getting together. Right, let's recognize that there's something valuable and something powerful in us interacting with other people. And so we need to be intentional about being with other people. Jesus modeled this perfectly, didn't he? Jesus was with people. And imagine how annoying that must have been for the perfect Son of God to be among a bunch of sinners like us. But the very fact that God became one of us in the incarnation and the birth of Jesus Christ says, this is who I am. I want to be among people. John chapter 1 and verse 14. The Word, which existed with God from the very beginning, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Or he came into our camp. He came to live among us. And so when we look at the life of Jesus Christ, he ate meals with people. He walked roads with people. He showed up at weddings. He showed up at funerals. He was present. When you think about it, the lights in your house, they're positioned strategically where they are needed. The porch light is outside because that's where people need to see when they arrive. The kitchen light is in the kitchen because that's where you prepare food. The bathroom light is plugged in where someone might, that night light is plugged in where someone might need it to walk in the dark. You can't help people from a distance. Light has to be present in order to be effective. The bowl of busyness, right? We're all busy. I get that. We have packed schedules. We say to ourselves, maybe when things slow down, I'm going to let my light shine. But I found this to be true. We make time for what we value. Jesus had just 3 years of public ministry. And he was a busy guy. You look at his life, and there's people always asking for his time. He was just almost overwhelmed by all of these requests. In Mark chapter 6, Jesus looks at the crowds. And I would imagine at that point, Jesus' temptation was, beam me up, Scotty, right? Take me out of this. But he had compassion on them, and so he began teaching them many things. Jesus had healthy boundaries. He did withdraw to pray, and I'm not saying that we never have time by ourselves, but he never used busyness as an excuse to avoid people who needed him. So we need to ask ourselves, are we busy with good things or God things? Are our schedules so packed that there's no room to let our light shine in the lives of other people? So this means to pause, to slow down, to make space, to shine. The bowl of comparison. I'm not going to let my light shine because I'm not like her. She's so gifted. I'm not like him. He's just such a natural leader. I don't have this amazing testimony. My story is boring. But again, here's the truth. You're not supposed to be like anyone else. Remember at the beginning, all those different lights, they're different. Imagine if every light in your house was a spotlight. Right, that would just be overwhelming, right? Imagine if every light was just a little night light. Well, that wouldn't be sufficient enough. But these lights aren't comparing themselves to one another. They just do what they are designed to do. And this is the whole concept that Paul develops in 1 Corinthians. Because there are some people saying that if you're not my light, then you're not a light at all. And so Paul goes to explain that the church is like a body. And there's all different parts of this body, all different functions. And one part of the body can't say to the other part of the body, I don't need you. We're all essential. So tying that into this light analogy, all of us are different types of lights. And just because you don't shine like someone else doesn't mean that your light is not essential. God made you for a reason. He gave you gifts to use those gifts. How about the bowl of past failure? Now, Satan will bring this one up a lot in our lives. There's something in your life that you're just ashamed of, something that you regret, and you feel like you failed God so many times that he certainly can't use you. But again, look through Scripture. God is the God of second chances. Peter denied Jesus 3 times, but Jesus uses him as an integral partner in establishing the church Book of Acts. There's this beautiful story about John Mark in the book of Acts, and then in the letters. John Mark was a companion of Paul, but then something happened to John Mark in that first missionary journey where he left Paul, went back home. We don't know exactly what happened. And then Paul says, on the next missionary journey, I'm not going to take this guy. But later on, as that relationship develops, we see in 2 Timothy 4:11, Paul and John Mark have restored that relationship. He was given a second chance. We know the story of King David, committed adultery and murder, yet God called him a man after his own heart. Paul reminds us that the old is gone and the new is here, that we're a new creation. So again, back to that light in your house. Maybe the bulb burned out once. Do you throw the light out? No, you put a new light bulb in it. You make sure it's plugged into the wall. And just like you, just because you have your past failures doesn't mean that God is throwing you out into the dump. Maybe it's just you need a refresher. You need to be plugged back in. You need a new bulb. But God is always ready to give you a fresh light and a fresh start. Let me go back to that point, this aspect of being intentional about our light shining. We have to resist the gravitational pull towards isolation and comfort. And so again, looking at Jesus' ministry, we can learn from that. So we need to go to where people are. We need to go to where people are. Jesus was in the synagogue. Jesus ate dinner with people. Jesus went to the well. This was a gathering place. We see in John. Jesus went to the hillsides where people gathered. He went to the marketplaces. He went where people are. So ask yourself, am I intentional about letting my light shine? So going back to that younger version of myself that celebrated that I could get gas without talking to anyone, I intentionally tell myself now when I go somewhere, even to the bank, instead of going through the drive-thru, I go up and I interact with the teller. Instead of going through the drive-thrus at restaurants, I'll go in and try to interact with people. Hopefully they see some kind of light that is shining in me. And here's the thing, even if people don't recognize that you're a light, because people can really make you feel useless, you're a light. And you may not change people's faces or their reactions, or they may not say to you, "Boy, Todd, I'm glad you came in here today. You have really brightened up my life." You've got to believe that you are the light of the world. So be intentional in interacting with people. Create spaces for conversations. Ask people questions. Tell stories. Engage with people rather than just walking by them. I'm guilty of this as well, but I'm amazed at how often you can just walk by someone and they don't even recognize that you're there. I try to make it a point at least to say to someone, "Good day, good morning, good evening," you know, to acknowledge their existence. But so many times we're just passing people and it's like they're not even there. Be present in the moment. Don't be rushed. Don't be distracted. Give your time to people. And this is where technology, we need to put those phones down and have conversations with people. We need to have real live interactions. Instead of the light of the phone shining on us, we need to let the light that God has placed within us shine into the lives of other people. Again, this is modeled in Jesus' life in Mark chapter 1. Jesus says, "This is why I have come, so that I can preach to people." He was intentional. He had a mission. He wasn't just content to stay where he was or where he was comfortable or where he was popular. He went out to be among people. We have to go. Again, back to the light thing. You don't put a light in a closed room, right? You don't put a light in a closet that you never go into. The light needs to be out. The light needs to be visible. Nobody puts a lamp in a closet with the door shut, or you shouldn't. You're wasting electricity. Turn that light out. You put lights where they're needed. So God is asking you to position yourself where is your light most needed and to go into those places. And many of you are in those places, but you're covering up your light for whatever reason. We'll refresh yourself on those bowls here in just a minute. Again, I want you to realize this, and I'm saying this to myself as well. Satan is saying to you, "You're just one person, you're just a small light. What difference can you make?" You do. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." And to illustrate this, if you just go into a completely dark room where there is no light at all, you can just take the smallest light and it makes a difference. Your life is making a difference, or it has the potential to make a difference in your family, in your neighborhood, the places that you work, the people that you interact with. And all of us are working together. Paul says that we have these different roles. Some plant, some water, but God is making this growth. And so we are making a difference. Don't let Satan convince you that your light is useless. All right, let's wrap this up. Conclusion here. All right, removing the bowl and stepping into the light. So these are things we need to know. First, really believe that declaration, "You are the light of the world." And maybe people have said over to you over again, you're no good, you don't bring any value to this workplace, you don't bring any value. They're not saying that in those many words, but it's easy for us to misinterpret what people say into thinking that I'm not worthwhile. Jesus is saying, "You are the light of the world." Believe that. So the question isn't whether or not you have the light, and the question isn't whether you're bright enough. So the question now becomes, are we taking a bowl and covering up that light? So here's the challenge, right? If it's fear, have a conversation this week that you've been avoiding. Right? Talk to that person. Maybe text that person. Make that phone call, whatever it may be. Be bold. Be unashamed about who you are. Take that first step. Don't let fear cover up that light. Maybe it's inadequacy. I don't know if I'm good enough. Well, maybe that story about your weakness is exactly what people need to hear. They need to hear your mess. They need to hear your struggle. And you don't have to be an expert. You don't have to be an expert. You just need to shine that light. Maybe it's comfort. It's so easy just to step out. It's so difficult just to step outside of your routine. So get out. Have interactions with people. Go somewhere new. Strike up a conversation with someone that maybe you've just only waved to. Accept an invitation that you normally would decline. If it's busyness, then clear something from your schedule so that you can create space for a divine appointment, some type of light-giving appointment. Say no to something good so you can say yes to something even better. If it's comparison, stop looking around at what other people are doing. Stop worrying about that. And say, God, what is my purpose? What is my function? How can my light shine? Because I want that. If it's past failure, well, try again. Reach out. Reach out to someone. Offer help. Remember that God has given you a fresh start. You don't have to do everything. You don't have to be every kind of light. But you need to let that light shine. 2 Corinthians 4, 6 through 7. For God who said, let light shine out of the darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. And then I love this next sentence. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We're all just ordinary. We're all just jars of clay, breakable, imperfect. But we carry an extraordinary treasure. We carry the light of God. All right, go home today. Count those lights. Walk through your house. See how many are there. Notice how different that they are. Notice how each one serves a difference. And then think to yourself, this is how God sees the church. Different lights, different purposes, but all needed, all essential, all valuable. When you leave today, when you start your work week, going back to your families, your friends, remind yourself, wake up every morning, look in that mirror when you get up in the morning after you turn that light on and say to yourself, I am the light of the world. God needs me to shine today. God needs me to bring hope and peace and joy into the lives of people. The world is dark. And there are people that are hurting. There are people that are stumbling. There are people that are scared. There are people that are looking for hope, truth, for love. And you carry exactly what they need. You may not light up a stadium, but you can light up a room. You may not reach millions, but you can reach one person that God has put in your path. You may not change the world, but you can change someone's world. So remove that bowl, position yourself where God is calling you, stay plugged into the source, and let your light shine. Because you are the light of the world. So be the light. Let's stand together and sing.